Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are you talking to yourself, or is this from some
Godfather
movie I've never seen? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Have you seen The Godfather, yeah, I hope?
Once or twice.
It's Mike Shope.
I did not see it until my 30s, but then I became obsessed with it.
And the Bulldog.
I've never been obsessed with it, so I don't know it well enough to have picked up on that.
I did not care for The Godfather.
What?
Did not care for The Godfather.
I don't think it's a movie where you're just like, oh, it's good. Godfather, yeah, I saw that. It was good. The Godfather, I saw that. I liked it. Like, that's just sort of, you didn't really see it.
I'm not in the way of it being an all-time great. I never got obsessed with it.
Explain yourself. What didn't you like about it?
It insists upon itself.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Two straight losses. The Bills fall in Houston 23-20. How? Why? 803-0550, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, Football Monday on WGR. You love it. It's brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. What have we got? We've got the details of how this game ended, play calling, execution, and we've got the overall, which is they are not getting anywhere through the air despite having Josh Allen on their team. Last caller brought up overall production these last two games. I gave you some numbers. Their entire wide receiver core, and it's not only the receivers who can be targeted, of course, are averaging 8.5, less 8 receptions per game for 111 yards and one touchdown. That's all of them. That's Coleman, Hollins, Samuel, Shakir. And Shakir missed yesterday, but MVS, I mean, that's that's all those guys. And that is just, it's, you can't blame two high safeties in the NFL for this. I mean, this is really a low point in Allen's career. I mean, what was it that 9 for 30 hadn't happened in 30 years in the league? Only 9 completions with so many attempts? Yikes.
Yeah, this is the kind of game that makes, you know, that could trip away. I'm not saying he's reverting to the form he was in when he came out of Wyoming, but that stat line sounds like that. Sounds like, you know, this guy doesn't have it. And we know he does. We know he's way better than that. And yesterday just was stanky. I mean, just was. When guys were available, he missed them. I don't think that's unfair at all. It wasn't frequent, but, you know, their margin for error does not exist. You get Mac Hollins beating a guy in the first quarter, you got to hit it. It's not a high percentage throw, but if you don't hit it, that may not happen again, like ever. I'm exaggerating, but you know, not great. Kincaid down the middle in the third quarter, or was that the second quarter? Excuse me, before halftime. That's there. Like that was there, and he just didn't get it there. Left it where a linebacker could get a hand on it, and that's that. So, you know, it's tough. It feels like a bit like trying to assess a quarterback whose line can't block for him. Like, he's not harried every time he drops back. But, you know, so you got to make the best of it and make the plays when you can. You know, yesterday, he was harried enough. I mean, they got pressure on him pretty significantly. But those plays were there to be made, and he didn't do it.
To your calls, 803-0550. Next up is Eddie. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, guys. Boy, you guys sure took a shift from when I got the first phone call in, because, I mean, all of these are the sentiments I called for. Because, listen, I know what he's capable of. We all do. We've seen him play like an MVP for a number of years, and we know his shortcomings, and we know he's got so many more strengths than any of that. So whatever I say here, I just want that disclaimer that it's not me thinking that he no longer can do the things that he had done. But something has changed. And for me, understanding what happened during those first few weeks, you know, I didn't see anything above what I'd normally see from him, in a sense. And I know what we're lacking in receivers, and I know the game plan, okay? And I, for years, especially, you know, last year when Dorsey, it looked like we needed some semblance of organization. Well, I'm worried. This is the first time I've ever been worried about the quarterback, Josh, himself. Like, irregardless of how bad the play calls are, irregardless of anything, there were many situations on that field yesterday. The throws were off. I mean, we saw that. I mean, that wasn't like him. He was just completely off target. He made a couple that could have been caught. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
The decision-making, that really bothered me. Like, his head, I don't know where he was mentally. And there were plays where, again, he's struggling to throw the ball. This is continuous. This isn't something new. I'm talking about during the game and last week as well. And there was a play there where he had an easy first down available to him. And, again, we don't want him to, you know, take off and just, it's almost like, though, in the past, he would think to himself, you know what, right now I kind of got to get in the game. I'm going to juice the team a bit here. He wasn't even making those decisions that I was used to him making. And I don't know if they're giving him too much freedom to do that, to make these decisions, because I don't think that's the type of quarterback Josh is. I know the previous caller talked about Daboll, and I agree. I think Josh definitely needs someone, a coordinator to really lay out what the plan is, because it felt like he was getting so much information into his head during the game. The blitzer, he's off to the side. You can't really see him, but it's like these teams are toying with him, thinking they're only dealing with Josh,
yeah,
and they don't have to deal with an adult in the room. And it seems like they're taking advantage of him,
okay,
and it's working.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was, you know, on... It certainly was on the board of potential pitfalls to the build of their offense and the talent or lack thereof of the skill position players of the receiving core. From time to time during the summer, when we were talking about this almost endlessly, a few times I said, you know, one thing that I think is fair to worry about, or at least wonder about, you can choose whether you want to worry about it or not, is whether their receiving core, you can include the tight ends here too if you want, like their pass catchers are so ordinarily talented that teams will feel comfortable sort of playing games with Allen and you know, just messing with their coverages, sending extra bodies. I would get ready. I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked yet what the Jets' tendency to blitz is. But I know they've got one of the best tandems at corner. Now, Sauce Gardner had a head injury yesterday, so you know, we'll see about him, how the week progresses here. But he left that game and never returned in London yesterday. But if he's there, he and Reed are lockdown dudes, and I would expect the Jets to just, I'm gonna not worry about you beating me one-on-one here, and we're gonna just mess with Allen. I think we saw some of that yesterday, and there's not really anybody on the field to really do anything about it, you know, skill position wise. That's that is tough to overcome.
Unless you just bust holes and Cook
right
sort of wrecks the game like the Dolphin game. Well, that was interesting yesterday with the Jet DBs and Jefferson in the first half of that game. You catch Gardner mocking Jefferson for basically begging for every call. He does a little hand gesture, palms up, you know, mm-hmm. over and over. It was a good battle. My takeaway from talking to fans today is, like, the theories are running rampant. What is he confused? What are they really telling him? Is anybody speaking truth to power in the Bills coaching staff? Like, all kinds of theories. And a lot of those answers will not come out what it's really like. But this is an ESPN game next week. And it's super interesting because Bills and Jets, two of the conference favorites, both look way off offensively playing each other, rivalry, division game. And, you know, ESPN's going to go to work breaking down these two teams here leading up to next Monday night. There's still a game the night first, but yeah. There'll be a lot of good analysis and probably some bad on just what is going on. Like, I'm not there yet for I don't have the all 22 of a bunch of clips of, like, look, Allen had this, Allen had this, Allen had this. I know that second down play on the last series, he had options and he went deep, and that sort of fits the profile. And, you know, anything can work, but I don't know. That wasn't probably the best decision. It's debatable. 803-0550 is the number. Here is Keith next. Hello, Keith.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Just find myself deciding not to get angry anymore.
Good for you.
because I've listened to your show for years and years and years, and I love when you used to say, like, anybody that plays Madden understands the modern NFL. The Bills, I think, still have missed that for a while. They have a generational talent in Allen, and it's no surprise that he hasn't been nearly as good as he was in 2020 when he had Diggs, Davis, Beasley, and Brown. And they continue to not use draft capital on receivers. They haven't made much of a free agent splash on wide receivers. They've invested big in their defensive line. And Von Miller, how's that going? And I don't know. I think maybe they think now they can be the Chiefs with a no-name offense. The problem is they don't have Andy Reid. And Patrick Mahomes is probably more disciplined than Josh Allen in that type of a system anyway. So it's just really frustrating as a longtime fan, season ticket holder, to see we're all been crying for weapons since the 2021 season. And I don't know, I guess they're smarter than us, but here we are again saying this guy's awesome. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, but we don't want to invest around him.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Really good points. I would just say about the Chiefs comp that it's still too early to rule out the possibility of being them. I think it's hard to argue with how you put it with respect to Andy Reid, but their offense was terrible last year. They got in the playoffs in a weak division, and they, you know, had a very good defense, and they did it. And that's available to these Bills. Not the best thing necessarily, but I think it's a bit of a relief that the Jets and the Dolphins have had the struggles they've had. I mean, they're both sitting there with losing records through 5 weeks, so you're in front. Long way to go, but you might have that same kind of thing where it's a 10-win season, good enough to get in, play at home in the first round, and see if you can't just take advantage of it. That happens a lot in the NFL. Ross Tucker will say it tomorrow, or other people who come on. Like, when Indy won, that was not their best team. Aaron Schatz is the one who makes that point.
Yeah.
When they won, you know, they had better seasons, but that was the year they did it. I'm not trying to wash away the Bills' problems right now, but I think also you can't write them off.
I definitely wouldn't want to write them off. And they'll get healthier on defense. I mean, Bernard returned and made a difference right away yesterday with that interception. Just a very high-level play. Really, he covered two guys. He took away a guy from Stroud, and I think recognized that he had done that and turned away and then went and picked off the pass. Like, I just deterred him from throwing to this guy, so I'm going to go run over here now. Really heady, really smart. The trouble I'll have with seeing their defense perform at a level like Kansas City's did in the playoffs, in particular last year, in beating Josh Allen on the road and then Lamar Jackson on the road, is I just think their safety play is going to leave a lot to be desired. I mean, maybe Bishop will just get better as he goes, but he plainly screwed up that Nico Collins long touchdown yesterday. That's a play the Bills with Hyde and Poyer just very rarely have ever got beat on. And that was easy. I mean, he got beat 30 yards upfield. Like, he just made a choice and was just made the wrong choice. And Collins just cruised by him, and Douglas thought he had the help over the top, and it wasn't there, and easy touchdown. Easy for me to say. I mean, you got to make the throw. Stroud made the throw.
Let me set John up here by saying that one of Kansas City's starting safeties is actually on the Bills right now. John, you're on WGR.
I don't understand that, Mike. Why aren't we playing Edwards?
I don't know, but I kind of feel like there's a good reason. I just don't know what it is.
There must be a reason. I know. There must be a reason with the coach or something, or because we're starting a rookie safety.
Yeah.
That's made a lot of mistakes.
I know. I couldn't tell you what has kept him back, but you're right. He's active.
Right. He's covering kicks.
Yeah, thanks, John. Good question for Sal in the coming days. Sal will not be with us today, but extra point tomorrow morning. And, you know, we usually get to him, if not by Monday, Wednesday. Let's go to Rob next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. I just wanted to say that last night I was having some discussions on Twitter in the space, and I'm just wondering about Joe Brady in respects to his ability to do the job. Obviously, everybody, you know, I was never a proponent of Everybody Eats. You guys know that I've interacted with both of you on Twitter before, but the fact that the first couple games looked, you know, so good, I think it lulled us into a false sense of security because we're playing against better defenses now these last couple weeks, and it seems like it's everybody can look at the screen and tell that, like, they're getting ready to run a screen pass, or Alec Anderson checks in, and it's like, okay, I guess we're running here. Like, it seems like there's just, it's so remedial. And there's not a lot of creativity, and I'm just wondering, like, does he have the chops, basically? And I know you guys can't answer that. I'm just looking for your opinions on it because of the fact that I'm just really worried about it because a couple callers ago talked about Dable. I have missed him since he's been gone, and it's just interesting to me that, you know, McDermott had problems with Dable, he's gone. McDermott had problems with Frazier, he's gone. Now you've got these guys that are a little bit, you know, they're just not as experienced, you know, and that doesn't mean they can't do the job. It just means that they haven't been on the job that long. And we're having all these problems. And, like, Curtis Samuel, you pay him all that money, and it's just screen passes. And Kincaid's supposed to be generational and separator, and he's not up to scene. We don't use the middle of the field. And it's just really frustrating to watch this offense operate these last couple of weeks. And I'm just wondering what you guys think about his acumen for the job, because it looks a lot like Dorsey. It looks a lot like just predictability. And it's very frustrating to watch, obviously.
Well, you know, there have been some good days, but one of my – what point I liked more about last year when he took over for Dorsey was that they were less efficient. They definitely changed their philosophy and ran the ball more, which isn't really my style anyway. And they were not more efficient doing that. And it worried me this year, just walking into it, that they were going to want to be more like that. Why not? They won almost every game. So they willingly, I think we know this now, went for a less efficient style of offense. Your personnel changes, but that's, you know, to an extent anyway, under your control. And they accordingly changed their personnel, you know, trading digs and really leaning into this particular style of play. The Alec Anderson point, I never think to mention that, but for all the time spent on, all right, tell me, Everybody Eats, tell me who's on the field and who's not. Because I can't have 14 guys on the field. They've got all these maybe interchangeable parts, but not all of them. Kincaid and Samuel are for this. They're just not getting the ball enough. And that isn't to mention that they do put a sixth lineman on the field, which takes one of those spots up. Again, it's fitting for how they want to play, but is it working? And right now, it doesn't look like it's working. You can win games with, I guess, 9 completions. The drought Bills used to lose games sometimes with single-digit completions on the other side of the field, but you're asking for it.
Yeah. It seems like forever ago now, I know, but it was only a couple of weeks ago that we were watching Brady get into his bag with fourth down calls that were springing Cook wide open, Shakir wide open, the Coleman touchdown. Interestingly enough, you mentioned Alec Anderson came with the sixth offensive lineman on the field, and they threw out of that and really caught Jacksonville, I think, by surprise, doing so. I didn't see any of that yesterday in any situation at all. Even fourth and five at midfield there, the Coleman touchdown is just a regular.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It wasn't a let's spring something. If ever there was a moment in yesterday's game where a passing play like that was called for, now maybe because you're at your own 3-yard line, that's a little dicey. I don't know. There's maybe only so much you want to get into from down there. But how are you not just springing an easy button, Josh? This is going to be there if they're in this coverage, pitch and catch, first down, run three times, or kneel even, and punt the ball away after they burn their timeouts. And as long as you got like 10, 12 yards on that one easy button throw, you're home. Well, you're to overtime. You're not home free. You're going to have to still contend with overtime and find a way to move the ball in overtime. But I just don't know where that was. I also recognize there's not a bottomless well that you can, siphon those plays out of. But
I know, but this is totally fair. Just give me a slant.
There was just nothing there. Yeah.
I mean, Houston is thinking what? Somehow don't lose here. You know, back up. If they get a first down and we go to overtime, we'll take it. If they can, if Allen trips in the end zone and we can sack him, touch him down to win the game, we'll take it. But really, Houston can't lose there. They're just, you have to have a short pass that would get you out, you know, a little bit of room to work with, more likely to make the first down, et cetera, kill the clock.
That's why right away today, the first, I wish I had thought of this, you know, yesterday, but, you know, maybe someone better at this than me would think of everything. Oh. But I like, after we got done last night, I'm thinking, what was the objective there? Was Allen trying to do something that they didn't really need him to do or want him to do? What was he told to do? Anything or just like, yeah, because Allen looked like he was trying to go win the game, which on a level I can respect and understand, but man, it sure sounds like McDermott only wanted a first down. And that makes sense. Get a first down and I'm home free as far as this scenario. I'm not punting from my end zone and I'm not going to leave them enough time to hurt me. And instead, it was the opposite.
And you can do that by throwing passes. That's
right.
Part of this point. And that's what they chose to do, which I guess is controversial. 803-0550, Football Monday continues after sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
No, I mean, Mac's a good football player, right? And what's important for us is he plays a dual role for us, offense and special teams. And, you know, we have to manage that for him. And making sure that we handle that appropriately each game so we get the best version of back, number one. And then number two is, you know, we have other players with ability out there as well. Don't need to go into detail on who those guys are, but it doesn't all need to fall on Mac, nor does it all need to fall on just one person.
Okay, hear me out. Punt more.
What was the
punt more
spirit?
So you tire out Mac Hollins and he can't play offense?
What was exactly the spirit of the question?
That probably doesn't make any sense.
Was the spirit of the question, are we wearing out Mac Hollins, or is it more just like, why are we throwing deep balls to him with the game on the line?
It's probably, I would assume, just a general question about Mac Hollins. Yeah, like, you know, what do you think about what you're getting from Mac Hollins?
Yeah. That's what I would think, too.
Punt more. That's my
I don't know that special teams usage was really the spirit of the question, but I wasn't there. Football Monday on WGR, 803-0550.
All off season, the minute he got here, or really they started, you know, doing stuff on the field that Sal could watch, he'd be like, I think he's going to be on the field a lot, guys. I'd be like, you know, I'm sure I made the Jake Kumerow comment a half a dozen times, if not more, to Sal. And he was like, I don't know, guys, he's going to be on the field a lot. I'd be like, no, I don't want to hear this. I don't want it to be true. I'm trying to speak it out of existence. And here we are. I mean, I think Coleman is out snapping him so far, but that's it as far as the receivers go.
That's even interesting. Like, not really. Maybe not. I mean, nobody's producing. Shakir, most of all, and they missed him. But Coleman made sense to me as somebody that they would take kind of slowly, but really – it's not relatively speaking, it's not that at all. So
the only thing yesterday that I think about his usage, and this could be a version of taking it slowly with him, because like we were talking, right? No Shakir. So, okay, the slot's available. What about Curtis Samuel? What about anybody? What about Coleman? Like, if Coleman is someone you want to rely on because at least you trust him to actually catch the ball when it comes to him, despite the drop he had last week in Baltimore, well, why not maybe move him around? Right, like mix him in different places and see. And but again, that might be largely he's playing out here and he's getting a grasp of how to do that and what we're asking of him. And let's not crowd the plate with too much stuff for him. That probably I'm answering my own query about why not do something more with Coleman. I would bet it was that. I don't know it, but I would bet that makes sense.
David is next. Hello, David.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You guys.
Thank you.
So, one of the things that I wanted to bring up, I'm sure it's sort of been brought up in other ways, but where's Brandon Bean's culpability in all of this? I mean, I've been on the wide receiver train with you guys for the longest time, and the Bills don't have a difference maker at wide receiver. They have not had one since Diggs showed up 5 years ago. Where is the taking the wide receiver in the first round, like this year's draft. Why do they not bundle draft capital and go up and grab Brian Thomas Jr.? He looks like legit, you know, and it wouldn't have cost him that much. I looked at the Jimmy Johnson trade rules and or the values, and basically would have cost them a two. So they had a two, an extra second-round pick from the Diggs trade. So why not package that up and go grab somebody? Why are they always swinging for the fences and taking chances on these busts like Boogie Basham, Kyrie Elam, and the list goes on? Why haven't they ever tried to swing for the fences and get Josh some help that he deserves? You look at other teams. You look at the rookies this year in the league. They all have a guy to throw to. The Bills don't have anybody. The way this roster is constructed right now, it is not a championship roster. You're not winning the Super Bowl with this roster on offense right now. So hopefully yesterday was an eye-opener for Brandon Bean, realizing that he is failing a once-in-a-generational quarterback. I wanted to get your guys' take on that.
Okay, David.
Well, I appreciate you, you know, wanting to shine the light on Bean. He is the GM, so you know he's the guy that answers the questions about the personnel decisions. But I would say my opinion is don't take that too far. Like he's getting Sean McDermott the players Sean McDermott wants, and preparing the roster to play offense the way Sean McDermott wants them to play offense. Like I've always felt this is McDermott's show, and it's not just procedural that he got here first. But it does matter. Like, he got here and brought Bean here. As I say, Bean is powerless. I'm sure he has an ego and opinions. And, you know, they probably butt heads, just like anybody in a highly competitive profession like that would do. But Bean is culpable, of course. But he's not singularly responsible. I still think McDermott is the more responsible one for, like, how they're playing and how they put this team together. Because I think it's McDermott's show.
And I think my point back to you would be, David, it's nice to know how it's going to go and then talk about whether picks were good or not. It's nice to see Brian Thomas doing his things. If it were Odunze, would it be Odunze instead? Like, it's nice to have Elam to sort of whack at because that hasn't worked out. It's just... That's not really fair.
Everybody misses.
Everybody misses, and if you want, I would certainly have, generally, money invested on defensive line versus receiver. I think that is completely fair and correct, but you can't just take the picks you didn't like and sort of blame him for those, and why didn't they try, you said, too. You don't know that they didn't try. I also can't sit here, like Bulldog said at the top of the show, my name's on this, and I be duplicitous if I criticize the Bills for throwing the ball late in the game, because I think that's what they should do. And last year when they didn't do that, I was critical of them. You're not going to hear me say, yeah, they should have traded up. Just that's not where I was or ever am.
Yep.
And I'm glad they didn't do that. I didn't really even like Thomas because of his yards per route run stuff in college, but so far he looks terrific. Yep. So that's just my opinion about it.
I would have traded up in a second.
For him.
For him, and whatever. That's a much bigger trade. Massive. And I listen, I wouldn't assume that they didn't try. We're just not going to know. They're not going to have a news conference. They're like, well, we tried to do this, we tried to do that, and so now we got to live with everybody eats and Mac Hollins playing all the time. This is not going to happen. This came up last week. Like, how by design is this? I mean, we know how it ended. But I don't know that they didn't try to move up to draft Rome Odunze or Brian Thomas Jr. I also don't know whether they called San Francisco, brought Brandon Ayuk or any other team out there. It just might have been that the prices weren't there. Like, it was very notable that the prices were too high. I mean, they weren't something Bean could live with, or really any other team. For all the talk about how crazy day one of the draft was going to be, nothing happened. I mean, everybody got chosen, and you were well into the thing. So before none of the big picks got moved. I would guess that's because teams didn't have an appetite to pay the prices that were being asked.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, good question though. Brian is next. Hi, Brian.
Hello, gentlemen. Just my quick point is I'm not bashing our defense because I feel like they played really well yesterday, obviously under the circumstances. But I think that we're everybody wants to talk about the importance of our wide receiver core, and I agree that they're not very good at this point. But for some reason, and I don't know, even couldn't even tell you their names today because I watch Houston one time a year, but I feel like I just kept hearing their safeties play after play after play, coming up hard, making big hits, covering well, again, against a bad receiving core. But we're missing the importance, and I think this is our big miss, is high employees were so important to this team because you always were in position, you always knew exactly what was going on defense, and even if Josh had a bad game, those guys were the quarterbacks of the defense, and they always had us in the right positions, and our safeties are just so bad right now that it's always going to be a struggle, especially against teams that have high-quality wide receivers, and those are the best teams in the league. I feel like we're just not talking enough about, and again, Hoyer and Pidela, they were yep. bad last year, for sure. I'm not disagreeing with that, but in our heyday when Josh was sure. scoring 40 and all of that, it was like those guys were always there, and their safeties yesterday were, it felt like every play was just, there he is, he's hitting somebody, they're making a play in the back end. I feel like we're missing that point. We should have almost addressed that as much as wide receiver because it's that important on a team.
Interesting.
Yeah, you got there. I mean, Poyer at this point, to me, I don't think they were equals last year. Poyer really, it was noticeable. I didn't really see much deterioration in Hyde's play.
I think Poyer is the lowest rated yes. safety in the league.
Yes, like they got out of that at exactly the right time. Really, you could even argue they should have done it last year and had a better plan there. But, you know, he was still, I guess, serviceable enough last year. But they even modified how they were using him last year because of how much he'd lost.
And maybe the league knew because we thought he was going.
Yeah.
And he didn't get a deal
That's right.
anywhere else.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you need a time machine for that more than you need to keep these players on the team. But I hear you. You can slice up how you lose a game lots of different ways, and this game is ripe for it. But one way is to go all the way back to the first quarter and the 67-yard touchdown to Nico Collins. I'm not saying those plays never happened against the Bills, but they rarely happen against the Bills with those dudes playing safety. And yesterday, Cole Bishop was lost at sea on that play. And look, I like the draft pick. I want to be optimistic for the kid, but I mean, he got roasted yesterday.
That's another one where you got to be careful. Like, why didn't they address it? They did. That's their second pick of this draft, second round pick. Edwards, the signing there from mm-hmm. Kansas City, Rapp the year before.
They were trying
Lewis,
to be ready.
Ingram, other yeah. guys in the secondary that were a good story 2 weeks ago. I mean, that's just how it's turned here for them. 803-0550, Football Monday, the Bills 3-2. Tonight, it's New Orleans at Kansas City. I assume we'll have the game. Ross is there.
All right.
Kevin Harlan and Ross Tucker nice. On Westwood won the night.
Well, then you'll hear that right here. Awesome.
Right? And then yeah. we'll talk to him tomorrow. If anybody happens to listen very carefully, if Ross says anything controversial, let us know. And then tomorrow we'll maybe put it
sure.
to him. Yep. That's what we want to do.
I think you can count on a review of the press box food.
Yes, that's yeah. probably right.
That'll happen.
What most overrated food city in the world, probably, Kansas City.
I've never been.
Most overrated.
So I've never eaten.
Oh, the barbecue. It's meat and sauce. I mean, it's fine. It tastes good. But let's be real. They're not breaking any, you know, new ground. There. Boom. Chiefs, how do you like that?
Save that for week.
How do you like that whatever. Smack?
When do they play? You need that then.
Well, yeah. I'll try to remember that I thought this. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, back after this. You're listening to WGR. Right on time is a tweet from Ross Tucker from Kansas City, where he's working the game tonight with the press box menu. I can't resist. I couldn't resist. I had to chirp. Now, for one thing, these teams seem to find it optimal to prepare food that's suitable for the opponent's home city menu stuff.
Sure.
So the Chiefs are playing New Orleans,
all right.
maybe the best food city in the country. And you can't go wrong, but five items. Cajun potato salad. Come on. Before a game? Vegetable gumbo, chicken gumbo, ooh, original, spicy catfish bites with remoulade.
Mm. Okay.
I like gumbo and like spicy bites, catfish bites.
Cinnamon sugar mini donuts, like beignets, right?
Sure.
Almost. Yep. Vanilla bean sauce, strawberries, whipped cream. Imagine like stuffing your face with those before a game. Donuts.
I'm probably not going to do that, but I don't know. I think you're being hard on gumbo here. I like gumbo.
I love gumbo. It's the only thing I would eat here probably. Maybe I have one little catfish bite. But, you know, it's five things and two are gumbo. Where's the etouffee? I mean, what are we doing? Come on. Where's the shrimp?
That's a fair question about shrimp. There's no shrimp in the chicken gumbo?
No, it would say gumbo.
Chicken and shrimp.
Yes. Or sausage. Hopefully there's some sausage in there.
Andouille in there. Yeah, what are you doing?
If I had Ross's gig going to all these stadiums, I'd want to eat the local food. Although maybe I did that last night or today.
Yep.
I mean, how hard am I trying to impress the Saints people? It's going to be better when they go home. Just a bad job all around. Not a great list. So many better choices. And this is not about Kansas City food, because none of this is Kansas City food.
How hard is it to keep an etouffee warm on like a buffet?
How much are the Chiefs worth?
That could be a tough, you know, that just might not be a very functional thing to serve at a thing like
easy
that.
Game, easy game. You don't think Taylor Swift is getting the etouffee tonight? I mean, that if she's there, I don't even know. I've lost touch with her. But although Ross knows her.
Right.
Same hometown.
Only like 1 degree of separation there or something.
He knows Ed.
Yep.
Is that her dad's name, Ed? Kelsey is Ed.
I don't know.
I think Kelsey's dad's name is Ed.
He did have a connection to the family.
There is an Ed. All right, little aside.
There's an Ed. There's always an Ed.
There's always an Ed.
Damn Ed.
Oh, my. All right, well, Ross will be fine. We won't worry about him. Will the Bills be fine? 803-0550. Football Monday continues after sports. What is your take on what happened yesterday and... are you worried? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.